Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Holy crap, it's the Children of the Corn!
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio.
You don't have to be naked for this.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
But I don't have to not be naked for it either.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Believe what I say or I'll hurt you.
Mace.
You know what? If you don't like it, go on the internet and complain.
Omega.
Anything worse than the wretched pain in my mouth is the excrement spewing from you all.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Excellent. The mind control device is nearing completion.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fate. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ. And you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That can't you dig that? Suck it!
Use my body to keep you alive.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This has been a news-filled week in professional wrestling. It usually is right after Mania, and the wrestling world will never be the same again, and I don't know how we're going to make it, but we're going to have to get used to CJ Parker not being around anymore. Everyone has made that joke, and we've now made it very quickly, so we can move on from that BS. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Same old shit. Same old shit. Same old shit.
Oh, wait.
That's what we were chanting last year. Whole new shit. Whole new shit.
It's new.
It's new. It's got a new hat. Get it?
Oh, old Simpsons references, because no one knows new Simpsons references.
That's because there are no new Simpsons references.
Well, speaking of old and outdated, the one and only Tim Stein.
Knew that was coming. I just somehow knew that was coming. How did I know that
you
was
know,
coming?
Because I throw the softball to Omega and he just
and he it knocks it right out of the park with that big-ass bat of his. Yeah, it's not a bat, it's a telephone pole. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, also on the TuneIn app if you're on the go and you want to listen to us while you're driving around or whatever, just download the TuneIn app, do a search for Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can listen anytime and every time we go live. Did you know that?
Yeah, because you've said it before, Michael Cole.
Yeah, well, I'm not the only one. Just wanting to point out that I'm not the only one. So, yeah, got a bunch of stuff that we're going to talk about really quickly tonight. And I say really quickly because it's a bunch of stuff. So we're not going to actually spend 3 hours on one subject. Speaking about 3 hours, that was an epic WTR Sunday night last night after WrestleMania last week.
It was our usual effort. You know, three hours to recap a six-hour show.
Well, yeah, cut it in half, I guess. So it was fun. It was definitely a lot of fun. That crowd on Monday night, for the most part, I was tickled by them just like you normally are after every WrestleMania. But I do have one beef and one grief, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. Why don't we start off by letting everybody know we've got a two-part announcement coming up that's going to affect the independent wrestling scene here in Alberta, basically all of Western Canada coming up. And so if you've tuned in to listen to find out what the hell that is, hang on, we'll get to it really quick, but we're going to start off right now with our win and fail of the week. And starting with me, my win for the week, Brock Smash.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably going to be the all-around win for this week is Brock. Brock didn't quite smash. Brock went fucking Godzilla.
Absolutely ape shit. I mean, you want to turn somebody face in 0.25 seconds?
Oh, it had nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with turning him face. It was just Brock's upset. Brock didn't get what he wants, so he kills JBL, Booker T, and Michael Cole.
He severely maimed JBL and Booker T. He slaughtered Michael Cole and a cameraman.
JBL actually tweeted a, and I'm using air quotes here, picture from a hospital bed after the fact.
Booker T was pretty squashed underneath that announce table.
I mean, geez,
oh God, a whole 30 pounds of particle board.
You know, kudos to those guys for taking the bump. I mean, sure, yeah. definitely, it was not, you know, like a walk through the park. That would have liked at least a tiny little bit of a mark, at the very least. So, but yeah, my win for the week, Brock just absolutely going on an complete meltdown. It was fantastic. Mace?
So what?
Your turn.
Well, I can't really add to it because, you know, mine's already Brock Smash. Seriously, you could not top Brock Smash.
No, I spent all week trying to, and I, you know, you're right. I can't pick anything else. I mean, that was the penultimate right there. I give honorable mention to SmackDown for actually being an entertaining show, and it felt like Raw Jr., but still Brock Smash topped it. Omega, are you making this a unanimous win?
Well, for the sake of variety and for the sake of not, you know, missing some of the big things that happened on Raw right after WrestleMania, I could throw in some dissension.
Well, go ahead.
I mean, annihilating Michael Cole will always get you a win in my book. just for the sake of throwing something else in, hang on. Hang on, something just came up. I get, you know, I'm sorry, things get annoying here. Okay. I'm here now.
Welcome back.
Thank you. How about just for a little bit of variety, the debut of Neville?
Ooh.
Who's not Mighty Mouse.
I can't disagree with you on picking that on any normal day of the week.
Aside from just, it's Adrian Neville.
The man that gravity forgot.
Desperately needs his first name back.
You don't like that they're not using his first name on
I hate this idea that having a first name somehow doesn't make you sound tough. You know, I don't find anything wrong with Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna give someone that like just like a normal name,
yeah,
give him a full name.
Well, you know, Cher doesn't have a second name, it works for her.
She's goddamn Cher.
I hope Kathy Griffin's not listening because she'll probably get pissed off if I mention Cher on this program.
But no, really cool debut.
Yep.
Completely dominated poor Curtis Axel.
Oh, that was
really, really cool. Like very early in the match, there is a sequence of two front flips right into the corner in time to deliver a kick. It's a beautiful little combination.
Yep.
Incredibly impressive debut, which any debut should be.
Yeah, well, true.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see the reaction that he got on Twitter. Like, it's one thing that you had two camps. You had those who have watched him in NXT for quite a while that just went and, oh, it's Adrian Neville, he's debuted, yay, finally, and he's doing all the same shit he did in NXT. Cool. Then you had the people who either don't have the WWE Network or have never watched NXT that went, holy shit, this kid's got a future.
Yeah, like, who is this guy?
Yeah. But the thing is, when you get a positive reaction out of both camps, the ones that's been watching him for quite a while and the people who have no idea who he is,
yep,
then he might actually be able to get somewhere in the company.
Well, if he keeps getting, you know, outside support that hasn't been introduced by him getting all over social media.
As long as he stays off social media.
That would probably be a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, WWE personality should stay the hell off Twitter.
His first tweet after he debuted should have been, "Here I come to save the day." Laugh my ass off.
That would have been funny. Oh, my goodness. All right, Mace, what's your fail for the week?
My fail for the week was the Sting, quote-unquote, interview.
On the network immediately following the Raw last Monday.
Correct. It was all of one question, which sounded like 99% of the questions that have been answered anytime we decide to interview somebody, mm-hmm. which was very political, very vague, and maybe I will, maybe I won't. If they give me a job, then so be it. And, you know, it was the same type of shit that he'd been saying leading up to actually signing with the company.
Uh-huh.
Then you have Bo Dallas coming out for no fucking reason whatsoever.
Other than the fact that he's Bo fucking Dallas.
Pretty much. I'm Bo Dallas. I'm here to create inspiration?
I don't think so.
Question mark. And you can see it on Sting's face when Bo gets in the ring. It's like, motherfucker, you didn't just interrupt my promo. Because now you dead.
Okay,
that was the only reason they had him out there. Bo Dallas came out so that Sting could drop him on his head. That was it.
Well, you know, the politically correct response from Sting, hey, I'm open to anything they throw my way. So is that basically WWE and Sting saying, don't expect anything?
Well, it was more along the lines of, we haven't discussed anything, nothing has been signed.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't really decided to sit down and talk about this yet. It was trying to keep hope alive without actually there being any negotiation between the two parties.
Honestly, we don't have anything for you yet, but hang on. We'll see what we
can do. Yeah, creative has nothing for you at this time, as we're so used to hearing over the years.
But you're Sting, so we won't release you outright.
Yeah, pretty much. But at the same time, you know, the entire night they were hyping up, oh, Sting's having an interview right after Raw.
Yep.
You know, tune into the WWE Network to find out what's going to happen. It was one question, a very vague answer, and a very stupid interference thing by Bo Dallas.
So what? Basically a huge ass.
I was actually expecting a proper sit down, you know, 15, 20 minute, half an hour interview.
Uh-huh.
Like get his reactions to what happened at Mania, you know, what was it like working in front of the WWE crowd for the first time? You know, you were on the grand stage for WrestleMania. Was there anything afterwards that you said to Triple H, or, you know, an actual fucking interview?
Well, you can't do that because it would be an actual
vague answer and then shit segment.
Yeah, no, you can't do that because it would then be an actual effing interview.
It'd be fucking entertaining. God fucking forbid on a show where we've just had 3 solid hours of entertainment that you couldn't give the people on the network 30 minutes?
If we had a chance, then we would have an hour of content just on him having worked WrestleMania.
Fuck, give me a chance to interview Sting. I'll give you an hour interview. You know, for fuck's sake. You have Sting, who's coming off a very hot match at WrestleMania, and you do this to him. It's like, fucking hell, like, give us something. The crowd's clamoring for more. Why aren't you fucking delivering?
I mean, you even gave Eric Bischoff a little bit more than that.
No, I asked one question to Eric Bischoff and then got kicked off the air by Mosh, but...
That's a different
kettle of fish.
I was actually referring to WWE gave Eric Bischoff a little more.
Well, at least they plugged his old book, the Hall of Fame. So
controversy creates cash.
Yeah, you know the weird thing about that segment, aside from the fact that it was that segment, it made me realize Sting was wrestling Bo Dallas's father before Bo Dallas was even in existence.
Before Bo was born.
I actually had to go and look it up. Sting versus Mike Rotunda was April 1989, and Bo was born about a year later.
You know, you just let the cat out of the bag. Okay. Some people listen okay, didn't so, realize that Mike Rotunda was his dad.
So,
oh no!
In essence, you'd
at
say
least I didn't say Mike Rotunda is also Bray Wyatt's dad. I'm not
just
gonna let that.
Gee, now I'm just
breaking
I'm,
kayfabe. Jesus Christ!
Welcome to WWE.
So would you equate Sting giving the Scorpion Death Drop to Bo Dallas to the same thing as kicking Mike Rotunda in the nuts?
I'm just amused he's beaten up two generations of Rotunda now.
That's true. He should have done. He should have dropped Orton too. But then again, I don't think he's really had any chance to wrestle Cowboy Bob.
Yeah, there you go. Hopefully, Sting can wrestle for another 20 years.
Sting versus Curtis Axel. Then he could drop two generations of headaches.
There you go.
Possibly three.
But he might destroy Axelmania.
Oh, you're making that actually sound like Axelmania is a thing to begin with.
Well, you know, just when you have fun, you have fun. All right, Omega, what's your fail for the week?
Byron fucking Saxton.
Oh, god damn.
Someone shoot that motherfucker.
Oh, my god. I don't know what was worse, his actual commentary or him being so stupid he didn't just flip the table back over.
Hey, that, you know, that was all of 30 pounds of particle board.
I know.
Yeah, but it was Byron Saxton.
Jerry Lawler came out. He could have helped. No, they just stood there.
And the stupid thing is, Jerry Lawler wasn't even scheduled for the show. He just happened to still be backstage, and they called an audible.
Because
and sent Jerry out.
Everybody being there for the night after WrestleMania.
Yeah, and they got Lawler out there because Saxton was pretty much dying out there on his own.
Well, you know, I would take issue with your fail, except that you're right, and it's mine as well. So there's no issue. Got it. No, it was absolutely horrible. You know, I've been reading all week. Vince McMahon is supremely pissed off with Byron Saxton. I mean, when he did that interview with Stone Cold, you all remember that one. He mentioned, you know, get out there and grab the brass ring. And this was Byron's chance to actually prove he could do something. And the show would have been better with no commentary than it would have been with him, than it was with him.
God, it was painful to listen to.
It was, oh.
Like, here you go. It's the night after WrestleMania. You get to be the only announcer. Go out there and Joey Styles this bitch.
I mean, I could have done a better job. In fact, I have
done. Anyone could have done a better job. Ugh.
Not anyone. There are a couple of
get
people.
Get Renee Young out there. Private. Actually show them how it's done.
Oh, Christ. Renee Young could have done a better job.
Could have put Mike Adam Lee out there and had a better job done.
Ooh.
Who cares how much better it would have been Renee Young on camera every now and then? As opposed to Byron, yeah.
Stupid thing is, Renee works with Byron on NXT, and they're actually a decent team.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you put Byron on his own on Raw, and he fucking sucks dick.
Even with Lawler out there, he couldn't get it together. Because you could tell he's so used to working with that team at NXT, he's used to them carrying what he can't do.
Well, I think finish your thought. Sorry, I didn't.
He can't swing it on his own when he's outside of his comfort zone. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, I was almost getting the impression that he was trying to sell it as like he got thrown in there and was just trying to keep up.
Oh yeah,
you know, uh-huh. But he went overboard with it.
Yeah, because that's like totally, you know, his intention.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've seen people do dumb things like that before. Anyway, that's our wins and our fails for this week. And I
narrowly beating out Sheamus's hair.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Sheamus coming up in a little bit. Something I noticed on social media this week after his debut. But why don't we talk about AJ Lee actually retiring after Monday Night Raw? What do you guys think about this? How much of a sad do you have?
You'd expect me to be sadder than I really was when the news broke.
No,
like I've been an AJ fan for quite a while, but at the same time, it's like, oh, she retired? Okay. It's like, oh, it's just like I should have some sort of like, oh my god, she's retiring, oh, you're bawling my eyes out or something. And it's just a resounding,
sort of anticlimactic?
Pretty much. I don't know what it is about the announcement, just doesn't make me give a fuck.
Hmm.
It's like, sure, she's gonna leave a hole in the Divas division.
Yeah.
You know, actually being someone who had charisma and talent and could actually wrestle and cut a half decent promo.
And a diva you didn't mind watching make other divas look good in the ring.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, she's been there, she's made her money, she's married to a guy who's made a fair bit of money.
Yep.
She's still young enough that she can go and pursue other career paths and still yep. have, you know, she's not going to be plagued by injuries. She can uh-huh. go and have a family if she wants and still come back in a few years.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those decisions for me where it's like, okay, she made the decision to leave while she still has a chance to do other things.
Yeah.
Good for her. Now, if she comes back one day, cool.
Yeah. Do either of you two have any idea why she left? Have you heard any rumors or anything?
It's AJ Lee. There's no diva in the last 10 or years or even longer that's had more rumors about her.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it took all of like 5 minutes for the pregnancy rumor to show up once again.
Well, here there's more than just that. Bailey actually posted on that, and she was dropping major hint bombs about it. Did you know?
Well, yeah, bullshit.
They totally would have let her work two matches, you know, at WrestleMania and then after on Raw, if she was pregnant.
Well, you think about it. How much did she work on Raw?
She didn't work much at Raw or at Mania. However, yeah. those two would, the word going around was AJ knew that she was going to quit. Or retire or whatever after Mania. You know, and that's when those photos went up. I could almost guarantee that AJ and Bailey sat there for a minute after AJ told Bailey what she was going to do, and they said, you know what? Let's take some photos that make it look like you're secretly announcing a pregnancy. That's going to be a fucking hoot. I can guarantee you those photos are done just for fucking troll purposes.
I can honestly see that for sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, that'd be like I said, pulling a Chris Jericho.
Fuck, if I was AJ, I would have done some photos like that just to troll people. Because you know that the rumors are going to come out the second you fucking retire. So why not turn around and go, ha, here's a way to keep my name in the headlines and go, fuck you to all the IWC people going and putting their rumors around.
And just feed everybody.
Yeah, feed the trolls, but feed them bullshit.
Yeah, well, the news took me by surprise. I was like, huh, what? But
I woke up at 9:30 in the morning. I pick up my iPad to check the latest Facebook news, and that's the first thing I see. It took me like 17 reads of it to work out what the fuck it meant.
Yeah, but that's because you just woke up, you said.
Pretty much.
So, like, you know, at least I had coffee before I heard.
Jeez, that was like, like one of those things, like, no, someone had to churn that out of the rumor mill.
Yeah.
Like, between all the pregnancies and all the, well, she married Punk, so she's leaving bull crap. Seriously.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything you say about AJ is real.
Yeah.
Mind you, how many times did you look at the date? Just to make sure you had the right date.
Okay, twice. I looked twice.
So don't quite trust anything in early April.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was in that span where you're like, is somebody still in April Fool's Day and just trying to troll people? What the hell?
I stayed off Twitter all day on Monday, on the 1st.
Oh, I was off Facebook and Twitter for 48 hours.
So.
Because you got to remember, with the time difference, I've got April Fool's Day 16
twice.
Hours for everybody else.
Yeah.
So I've got to stay off for 2 full days just to avoid all the bullshit.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. So, but anyway, once again, everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm going to throw out a phone number to you, and I want you all to write it down. Because at some point in time, we're going to let you call in and talk to us all about stuff, so that'll be cool. To get a hold of us during the program, you're going to want to pick up your telephone and dial 267-297-1397. Did I get that right, Mr. Producer? Who's probably busy eating matzo ball soup or whatever?
What? Yeah, I think you said the number right.
267-297-1397. Or if you have Skype and you're outside of North America, you could actually get in touch with the program by Skyping Sir Rockin'.
That would be the way to do it.
Yeah, and so we're gonna let you call in a little bit, but
if you want to call in, you don't have to talk wrestling with us. You can talk wrestling, video games, TV shows, cartoons, whatever.
Yeah, we are bored.
Yeah, pretty much. This is how the show comes about. We are bored on a Sunday night. Please entertain us.
There you go. And
we entertain you. It's a good price to pay.
It kind of works. Yeah. But before we go to our first break, I do have a bit of an announcement to make here. It's actually a two-parter, and the first part we're going to be dropping. That we got a lot of people who live in Alberta, who and especially Calgary, who actually listen live or catch the archives. We got a bunch of people actually in Western Canada, I know for a fact, that listen. So this will affect them, say, a little bit more than it'll affect you, Omega. But that being said, it's still a pretty big deal. Something is basically starting up, I guess you could call it, with a reboot here in Calgary. Almost like a rebirth.
A reboot, a rebirth.
The Man Kitchen 2.0.
No, 1.0 still hasn't fired up yet.
That's still in beta.
Still.
That's still being beta tested. You can get in on it free.
Still waiting for V1.
V.5, yeah. Anyway, no, the basically the reboot. The original is returning. And I'm talking about Stampede Wrestling. The original Stampede Wrestling is coming back.
What?
I'm sure a lot of you guys know that name. Stampede Wrestling? The original Stampede Wrestling?
Wasn't that owned by Stu Hart back in the day?
That was back in the day. That was Stu Hart's baby. You know, Bret Hart came from the original Stampede Wrestling.
Right, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Owen Hart, Davey Boy Smith.
Oh, a bunch of the legendary Hart family members, right?
Owen Hart?
You said him.
Oh, okay. Natty, Tyson Kidd.
Natty, Tyson Kidd, you know.
They both work Stampede Wrestling.
Current WWE performers.
Yeah, and they are
current WWE champion.
As a matter of fact, Tyson Kidd was the last pro wrestler actually trained in the dungeon.
He does say that quite often.
Yeah, Natalya is actually the only female wrestler trained in the dungeon. Yeah. So just right ahead of our break, I want to make that announcement. Now, that's only one part of it.
Wait, there's more?
There's a lot more, and we can't get to it right now because we're running right up against time here. We got to take our first time out of the evening.
But I want to know now.
Well, we'll do it right on the other side of the break. How does that sound?
All right, fine.
As soon as we come back after our six-minute timeout, you're going to find out the second half of the announcement. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And this website and this webcast officially supports the original Stampede Wrestling. You're going to find out why on the other side of this. We'll be right back. Oh, wow.
Wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really? Come on, now. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree.
Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the real American. You all
I'm
pick.
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it.
I see them too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see if I've seen them face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good. I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Free Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Free Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Free Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out.
I believe you changed to Cancer Rock.
Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. The Wild Talk Radio Network.
What up, Mott?
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah, this is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, yeah, dig it!
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, no, we're going live. We're going right now. Okay, yeah. I'll talk to you in a bit. Right, bye. Sorry about that. I was just on the phone catching a talking on the phone during the commercial break. Welcome back, everybody, to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That was a very important phone call.
Was it now?
That I received during the break. Yeah, it was basically the final deal, as you were, to put the icing on the cake, if you will, for this major announcement, the two-parter.
Okay. So what, yeah. What you gonna fill us in or anything? Like,
Yeah. Well, I guess I could let you all know.
We're kind of dying to find out, so, you know.
The original Stampede Wrestling is back, as we announced right before the break. Stampede Wrestling will be firing up shows in almost no time at all. We're just literally weeks away from putting tickets on sale. Now, I say we for a very specific reason.
What's that reason, Tim?
You all know why I've been doing a little thing called Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
I seem to remember something about it.
Yeah, well, we went on indefinite hiatus, as you will. And one of the main reasons for that is because I'm letting the cat out of the bag right now. I've been going through some really intense, very high-level negotiations.
Have you?
With the original Stampede Wrestling.
No way.
As a matter of fact. And, yeah, way. It's come to fruition. It became a reality as of 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time last night, Saturday night.
Okay.
I guess you could call it it's not exactly a merging, but it's like a merger.
Okay. Explain.
Basically, I have been named the CEO and commissioner of the original Stampede Wrestling.
Hmm. Congratulations, Tim.
Well, thank you very much.
Do I need to pull out the fancy applause button, or we're good?
Do you have the fancy applause button handy?
I can get it up in like 2 seconds.
Let me know when it... There you go. Yeah. So I assume that my text messaging on my phone is about to blow up any second now after this major announcement. This is a big deal.
It really is a big deal, Tim.
I'm not talking about me being the commissioner and CEO. I'm talking about Stampede Wrestling coming back.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Hashtag Stampede is back. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get that trending on Twitter, everybody who has a Twitter account.
Tell your friends Stampede Wrestling is back. In Western Canada.
And Tim Stein is the commissioner and CEO. I'm the boss, dude.
Oh, God.
Chief Executive Officer. How do you like that?
I feel bad for your employees.
Will you do what's best for business?
I will do what's best for the fans.
So is this hashtag Tim Stein movement?
No.
Oh, and so he's the CEO... He's going to do what's best for the fans, so that means he's going to stay away from the website, right?
Oh, you're a cheeky bugger. You really are a cheeky bugger. Shame on you. So I know for a fact there are a couple of people that are going to want to be calling in tonight just to talk about this. Once again, phone number 267-297-1397. That'll work from any telephone, cell, or landline. Or just Skype Sir Rockin', and we'll bring you on. I'll let you have your say. Remember, it's a family show.
Right.
Family show. No. Fuck that.
No, Stampede Wrestling is a family show.
Right.
I stand by my statement.
We're not a family show, and I should have qualified that, warned everybody. So.
No, we are we're a dysfunctional family show.
Dysfunctional, yeah, we're like the Family Guy. And as a matter of fact, we've got a telephone call right now, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Absolutely, you do.
All right, well, who is this and where are you calling from?
Tim Stein, this is Aaron Frost from Houston, Texas. How are you?
Oh, my God, Aaron Frost, how are you?
Absolutely awesome, but I got a question for you.
Okay, what's your question, Aaron?
How dare you name yourself as the CEO when there's other people that can do a better job than you can.
Aaron.
I like this guy.
He's been the lead host of this show forever when everyone around him can do a better job than he can.
Oh, absolutely. He lives in Canada, in Alberta, in Cowtown.
Oh, God.
What's oh, God, Tim?
Oh, God. Aaron, like, let's get facts straight, okay? I didn't name myself CEO. The board of directors named me the CEO. That means I am the one in charge. That means you mind your P's and Q's.
Mind my P's and Q's?
That's the deal.
Really?
P's and kumquats?
That's not the words I was going to use, but okay.
So you're telling
me, Mr. Stein, sorry, I got to be correct here, that you're my boss now?
I hate to be the bearer of glad tidings, Aaron, but yeah, I'm in charge.
Wow, that is amazing to hear, actually. You know
really,
why?
Because it's the first time anybody's ever said that anywhere.
Well, no, wait. It gets better. Because yeah, I don't answer to anybody.
Well,
I am my own boss.
You're from Texas, Aaron. Maybe this will ring bells with you. There's a new sheriff, and there is a new sheriff in town.
And so, if I cross the line and screw up or mess up or whatever, or don't follow your rules, what are you going to do about it?
Well, are you into rhymes? Do you like poetry, Aaron?
Absolutely, I don't.
Okay, that's good to hear. Cross the line, you'll get fined.
I'll get fined.
Canadian poetry doesn't always
matter. I can sweeten the deal for you. How about I pad your pockets a little bit, and you can help me out a little bit. How's that sound?
You want me to help you out? Okay. What exactly are you thinking here? Remember, we're live here on the radio, and people are able to hear this high wheeling and dealing here.
Well, we can wheel and deal. We can absolutely wheel and deal, and this is my proposition for you. How about you book me for your first show?
Uh huh.
I will bring you whatever kind of Texas Mickey you like, plus an envelope full of some American cash, tax-free. How's that sound? And you can help me climb my way to the top and give me the best local talent that you have.
I see.
I'd take the deal because, you know, the exchange rate between American cash and Canadian cash is quite good right now.
Oh, exactly.
Well, it's been better.
I don't know. The economy in Canada here is pretty crappy right now. So, I mean, our money's worth a lot more than yours is.
Well, stuff comes up, it goes down, it rebounds. It's called the roller coaster ride. Speaking of which, Aaron, that sounds like you're trying to bribe me.
I wouldn't say it is a bribe. It's kind of what's best for business, helping you out a bit.
Oh, there you go. Okay. It still sounds like a bribe. So I'll tell you what. How about I just, fine you $2,500 American right off the top?
Excuse me?
You heard me. You
Excuse
come to me.
Me
with any bribe in the future, and that will be the least amount you'll have to worry about parting with.
Really?
Really.
So how about your – wait. Just keep your mouth shut for a second. How about your first show? I don't care if you book me or not. I will stand there. I will come and stand in your face, and we will have this talk face-to-face instead of over a phone. And I will slip you a little bit more. How does that sound?
Well, I'll tell you what. The first show, I will talk to the board and see how they feel about you participating.
They're going to love me. Who doesn't love me?
Well, we'll see about that.
I've only heard the guy, and I already love him.
Well, thank you.
Great. I've got two of them against me already. Mace working as a wrestler in Australia. Teaming up with Aaron, working as a wrestler, wanting to come and work at Stampede Wrestling.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't I? It's where your name gets put out there. It's where you make the big bucks, right? Right, Tim?
Well, you know, big bucks are made in many different ways, and I do believe in doing it the right way. So
tell you what.
We'll take it to the committee and see what how they feel about booking you on our
show. You're the CEO.
Yeah,
you have authority.
I've got
so let's just lay it out there right now. Book me, and we'll have this talk face to face. How's that sound?
Okay,
I'll even pay my own flight.
I'll tell you what. You get your ass up here. We'll put you in a match. But one more word about bribery, Aaron.
Yeah.
And it'll be the last time that you're in a Stampede Wrestling ring.
No. You just hold it right there.
Turn the volume off.
The last time I'm in the Stampede Wrestling ring, I haven't even been in one yet.
It'll be the first and last time.
Really? Well, I could bribe you a bit more, but I also don't want to take my chances, you know. But I mean, we can have this talk off air if you want.
Tell you what, why don't
Cowboy,
we do
Cowboy, where's Cowboy? Cowboy Aaron Frost.
Yeah, who is this?
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm a member of the board, and I'm going to tell you what. Not only will we stick you in that ring during the first show for Stampede Wrestling, you fly your ass up here, we'll stick you in that ring. I can guarantee you I'm going to find the biggest piece of Alberta beef we have out here to kick your ass all the way back in Houston, Texas.
Oh, and who are you?
I'm just a member of the board. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter who you are or who you think you are. The fact of the matter is you want to come into this territory, you're going to face some tough competition, my friend. They shouldn't call you Cowboy Aaron Frost. They shouldn't call you Cowboy Aaron Frost. They should call you Cream Puff Aaron Frost. That's what they should call you.
Oh, really? And I bet you're sitting on your couch right now with a bowl of French fries watching some hockey, right?
No, not at all. I'm listening to you blabber on about how good America is and how good your American money is. Well, you can take that and your patriotic flag, and you know where you can put it, don't you?
Oh, really? So do I have to meet you face-to-face, too, when I talk to Mr. Stein as well?
I'll tell you what, Aaron Frost, you come up here, you come up to Calgary, you get your ass in the ring, and as soon as you come through those ropes, you better have $4,000 cash on you, because that's going to be your fine. That's going to be the price you pay to step inside that ring now.
You're fined.
You don't bribe members of the board.
You're fined.
You are fined. You are fined, Aaron Frost, for trying to bribe an official of Stampede Wrestling, a member of the board. You are fined.
No.
That's right,
no.
To warn you.
There's no way. There's absolutely no way. I've done nothing wrong. I'm just trying to help out what's best for business here.
It's not helping best for business when you're trying to bribe everybody, Aaron Frost. So I'll tell you what, you come in here, you're going to start at the bottom of the pile like everybody else. You're going to slowly see if you can climb that ladder. And I'm going to make sure that it's a big, long ladder you got to climb.
You know what? You know what? I'm done.
Yeah, that's what I thought he'd do. He just ran away and tucked his tail and ran, didn't he?
I think he just hung up, Mr. Board Member.
I think he just did, too.
There you go. How would you like to introduce yourself to all of our listeners curious as to what might be going on right now?
What might be going on, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Katana. I was a North American mid-heavyweight champion 3.5 years, undefeated. I've been wrestling since the late 80s. I have been to the dungeon. I know all the hearts and everything else and everybody. I have been in the ring against Jason the Terrible, Sabu, right across the board, you name it. I'll tell you what, Stampede Wrestling is going to come, and it's going to stay, and it's going to make a major impact in Calgary. Tim Stein is our acting CEO. He answers to the board of directors, but we trust him 100% completely to get the job done.
And I thank you very much for that vote of confidence, Katana.
You got it.
All right.
And I'll tell you what, who's that guy down in Australia, Mace?
Yeah.
Is that your name? Yeah, Mace?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, you get up here too, because I got a job for you.
Really?
You bet.
I am very much interested. I'll look into the budget and see what I can do.
Okay, you do that, but I have to go. I got my lawyer on the other phone. I think Aaron Frost's lawyer is just speaking now. Okay, I got to go. Bye.
Okay, thanks, Katana. Okay, there he is, Katana from the original Stampede Wrestling on the on the board of directors, one of the members who actually voted me unanimously, believe it or not, as the CEO. I don't know, maybe I'm a little passive aggressive, but when I lay down the law, that's going to be it.
I don't know, I just find you lacking logic.
Well, we'll worry about logic when it comes time to worry about logic. And
do I need to relaunch my t-shirt line?
Oh, is it the one that I'm thinking about?
The Vince Russo logic. Do you do it?
The logic. Can you? Yeah. Okay. I want one of those t-shirts. You know what? If I have one of those t-shirts, I'll wear it in the ring at the first show.
I'll dig out the photo.
over top of my dress shirt and tie.
Wait! You're actually going to get a dress shirt and tie?
I've got several ties. You guys have just never seen me all dressed up, like, you know, done up the way I should be.
Okay, then.
That's all. So there's the huge major two-part announcement. Stampede of the original Stampede Wrestling is coming back, and basically I'm in charge.
It's what's
May
best.
God have mercy on everyone's souls.
It's best for business?
It'll be the best for the fans. There you go, yeah. So why don't we move on and continue on with WTR Sunday Night and talk about Justin Roberts having a bit of a problem with the Warrior Award.
Oh, Mr. Suki Suki Lala.
I can sort of, you know, I read that thing. You guys all read his blog post, right?
Yeah. I did.
Okay, I can sort of understand where he's coming from, because, yeah, WWE did edit Warrior's speech from last year a little bit.
To very selective clips and left out a lot of the context that went with them.
But Justin Roberts was glad that he's not working there no more. Fine, okay? There are some who are, you know, they're gone and they're glad they're not there anymore. One of his gripes was that basically Triple H... there you go. Yeah, that's the t-shirt. Anyway, Triple H basically usurped Justin Roberts wanting to be the guy in the ring with Connor. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, when you stop and you think about it, who's the bigger deal?
Well, in terms of what the... Okay. Let's rewind to the original speech. Basically, the original speech was more Warrior was speaking more about the guys backstage, you know, the road agents, the production assistants, the ring setup crew, all those guys that dedicate all their hard time and effort to building everything that makes this show possible. Mm-hmm. That was the original intention of his speech. However, considering some of the politics that goes on backstage, I can understand why the WWE changed it around. Especially because to turn it into something along the lines of a charitable award is a lot better publicly than, you know, giving Jim, who does the lighting, an award.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what Justin Roberts has said about the entire thing... Oh my God, did that just hurt my brain. Like, I can understand where he's coming from. He was involved with everything to do with Connor from the ground up. You know, he was the one who got him in touch with Daniel Bryan. He was the one who got him in touch with the WWE, organized tickets, talked to the kid on Skype or regularly, according to what he was saying. But at the end of the day, Justin Roberts was just one cog in a bigger machine. Okay, he made the initial contact and everything. But what has come from that initial contact is a lot bigger than Justin Roberts.
Yeah.
Okay, and for him to go, well, I introduced Connor to Daniel Bryan, I did this, I did that, I did it. It almost sounds like he wants all the recognition, which makes him look worse, to be honest. Because you take a look at what's come because of this. Like, we have Connor's Cure now, which has raised well over $200,000 in a short time. The amount of publicity that has come because of Connor's involvement with the WWE, whether it was manipulated by Triple H or the people in the office to be a publicity thing, it's a lot bigger than one man. Or even Connor himself. You know, poor kid, may they have mercy on his soul. But yeah, it just comes off as douchebaggery when you have one guy going, "Oh, I did everything. It was me. Who gives a shit? Be happy that what you did influenced something bigger."
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, it just stop being petty. That's exactly, you know, how he came across to me.
Yeah. Yeah, ultimately, it doesn't matter who did the introduction, who, you know, first made contact with the kid, who kept in touch. There's so much more meaning in Connor, in, you know, what he now represents thanks to what the WWE has done since meeting him. And to make it all about him and, oh, I'm the one who, I'm the one who made the introduction. It is very, God, it's very, like,
petty.
It's extremely petty. Yes. But it's also very, like, it reminds me of, like, Raven's gimmick, but for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about me? What about Justin? Well, Justin, yep. We don't care. You know, this is bigger than you. You know, you are. I'm sorry, Justin Roberts, you are not as important as this is.
And as for the manipulation of the speech, they turned it from something that could have been completely ignored and just pushed into the shadows into something that is now forefront of the company by a slight bit of editing. It's working out for the better.
It's not like they haven't done stuff like that in the past either. I'm sure many times there have been promo packages where...
Except this time they're using their powers for good instead of evil.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure there's many a video package out there that has used Justin Roberts' clips out of context many times.
Well, he just comes across as a total dumbass.
Pretty much, and that's been the same reaction that's come out online since he posted and everything. A lot of people have just turned around and said, shut the fuck up.
There are just some things where sometimes you stand up and you do speak out. This was not one of them. This really wasn't. Any point that he has was basically overshadowed by how he made himself look. So.
Indeed.
I won't give him the benefits. He might have had a point if he didn't come off as such an ass about it.
Yeah. Basically what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, anyway, I think we can put that to bed. Guys like Sheamus' new look? What do you think of his new look?
The crowd summed it up for us. Chance of you look stupid.
You look stupid.
Pretty much.
I'm not too sure about the hair. I didn't mind what he did with the beard because that's classic classic Celtic warrior stuff where you let your beard grow and then you braid it. And I didn't have a problem with that because my ancestors, being Norwegian, you know, my ancestors did the same thing.
I don't think anybody really had anything to say about the beard because – you know, if he wants to go for the more Viking look, that's sort of the stereotypically Viking thing to put the braids in the beard.
But not the Mohawk.
Yeah, everybody, the main thing was everybody had issue with the Mohawk. And I'm sorry, as somebody who lived through, like, the punk rock era of the 80s, seeing that type of shit on just about every metal band at the time... It looked stupid then. It looks fucking stupid now. You know, Sheamus looks like fucking Foghorn Leghorn. So, you know, but the thing is, all he needed to do was probably just even keep his hair down, just grow his hair out while he was gone. And it would have been a better look for him than a fucking mohawk.
Yep. I would have thought that if he would have grown his hair out, and started like he did with the beard, but you know the warriors braids that the Celts and the Scots and you know the Highlanders and the Danes and the Norwegians and the Berserkers, you know the you know what I'm talking about, right? The look. The really long hair with the warrior braids down the sides of the you know like the front sides of your head.
Oh, you braid the, what are they called? There's a term for that bit of hair across the front of the face. I know what you're talking about. I've got it all in my head, but I can't remember the term for it. But, yeah, look, even if he did that, it would be something. Yeah, I just don't know why. And it's the same thing when The Undertaker did it with his really short mohawk thing. It looks stupid. A single strip of hair down the middle of your head makes you look like a fucking retard. And thank God that, they decided to put him out in front of a crowd that is going to speak the truth.
Yeah.
You know, that Raw after Mania crowd is full of your hardcores. They're going to be the ones that are going to tell you whether something looks shit or something looks good or something is working or if it's not working. All of a sudden, Sheamus comes out and people just go, you look fucking stupid. But they shut up once he fucking started kicking people in the face.
Well, here's the thing,
The gimmick works. Let's just fix a couple of minute details like the hair and the shouting of fella when he still comes out.
Well, here's the thing, you know, like people are all bitching and complaining that he worked the match against Daniel Bryan on SmackDown extremely stiff, and maybe he was pissed off that he was told he looked stupid and took it out on DB. Or maybe not. I don't know. One thing that I have noticed on Twitter and Facebook, a lot of kids are actually getting their hair cut into the Sheamus mohawk. I don't know if you guys have seen any of these pictures, but I've seen a lot of them.
Oh, I really don't want to see it.
No, I don't want to see it either.
I lost enough faith in the youth of the nation.
Yep. I'm sorry. The next generation after our generation, no.
Just well, terrible.
It's fucked. But yeah, look, it's just little things that could be changed. You know, the new music, I don't mind it so much. Sure, I'm going to miss Lobster Head, and there's never going to be enough limes. But, you know, the new music, it suits the character he wants to portray now. Let's just get him drop that screaming of fella when he first walks out. Let's just shave him bald for a while and just let him kick people in the face. You know, I haven't watched SmackDown due to my cable company running a Simpsons marathon on
channel
that they have the wrestling on.
Yep.
And they've moved it to another channel that I have to actually go and make sure that I have to manually program it in every week to make sure I can see it.
Oh, okay.
So if I forget to program it in, I forget to watch it.
Well, I have to tell you, if you can find a replay of last week's SmackDown, I got to see it like a day earlier than everybody else because, believe it or not, there wasn't a hockey game preempting it. But I was really entertained. I'm like, whoa, I thought for a second I was watching Raw. I forgot for a second that it wasn't Raw, that it was Wednesday night that I was watching this. Omega, did you catch SmackDown?
Unfortunately, no.
All right.
Jeez, the irony is they moved back to the original night, and I keep forgetting.
It's on Thursday for you, yeah. Rock, you saw it. There he goes, eating his matzo ball soup again.
Yeah, you should don't ever.
Rock, sign language doesn't work on the radio.
Yeah, you know, like... You can't nod your head and expect us to see you. So,
oy vey.
Yeah, I hear that phrase is said a lot in Rock's house. Anyway, what do you guys think of his new music?
It works for the gimmick he wants to portray. As I'm going to miss these, I'm going to miss these old music though.
It's generic bad guy.
Generic Celtic bad guy.
We've gone from this period where everyone, like, even in the mid-card, had music with lyrics, and now everyone coming up just gets instrumental stuff.
Yeah, you know, for a fleeting second, I actually thought Roddy Piper was coming up.
No.
I actually thought that.
I didn't.
It was a fleeting second. Literally.
Yeah, because like, you heard bagpipes to start it out, and you went, ooh, yep. Roddy. No, wait.
That's racist.
It's okay.
That's
white,
Roddy's
like
gimmick
us.
For over 40 years.
Sorry, I'm like I told you, my text machine is blowing up here on my cell phone. So anyway, yeah, he looks stupid. Guys, we talked about it with our win and our fail, and it was pretty unanimous with the wins with Brock Lesnar. His blow up results in him getting suspended. What do you think about that?
It's well, not a bad way of it's not a bad way of writing him off TV.
Yeah, well, that worked, but yeah. Mace, what were you saying at the same time?
Well, it was the same thing. It was an interesting way to write him off TV, but the only thing that I have wrong with it is, like, if you take a look at Brock Lesnar outside of wrestling, you know, you watch his appearances on the Heyman Hustle stuff on YouTube or his interviews in UFC or something like that, he's very brash and confrontive.
Yeah.
So when Steph's coming out screeching and hollering like a banshee, I just expected Brock to just go, "Hey, bitch, fuck you."
You kind of want him to do that,
but he did that without actually saying it because you could see it on his face. He's got the cameraman up for the F5, and Steph's going, put him down," and you can see it going in his head. You really want me to put him down?
Really,
really, okay. Steph? Okay, and throws the F5. Okay, Steph. He's down.
There you go. You should really, you know, phrasing. Phrasing.
But yeah, but the thing is, you know, they can suspend Brock, take him off television. That's fine. You still have Heyman there. As Heyman has been doing for the past year, he can still carry the storyline without Brock needing to be there.
So
you can't really say nothing is lost.
Okay, that's a good picture that Rock just linked this to you. Have you guys looked at it yet?
It's funny.
It's perspective tricks. That's nice.
Yeah, meme this. You know, we should put it on Twitter and see if anybody can meme it. Meme. Or not, I don't know. But the question is, he's suspended indefinitely. When are we going to see him again? Is he gone now till SummerSlam?
It's highly possible.
Maybe not. Oh. Maybe not that long.
Yeah. What are you thinking? May, June?
I don't know. May's way too early.
Yeah, May's too early. Is June good timing?
June, maybe. It's kind of hard because on his last contract, we knew how many appearances he had written in.
This one, we don't right now.
Yeah, we got no clue.
Yeah.
We know he's there for 3 years, so they can't just keep going, "Oh, you're suspended again. Oh, well, you're fired again. Oh, well, he's leaving again." It's going to be really, really hard to keep writing him off TV that way.
Have him come back in June, win Money in the Bank, disappear, and whenever he shows up, cash in.
Bad idea. The only bad idea about that is you're putting him in a ladder match.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see Brock Lesnar doing that well in a ladder match. Unless he's F5-ing the ladders.
Which he could.
No, all you have him do is German suplex and F5 the ever-living fuck out of everyone in the match. Let all of them just lay down dead, and then he's the only one that even attempts to go up the ladder and just grabs it on his first go. Just lay waste to everybody. Walk up, grab it, leave.
I could see that happening, but at the same time, like, at the ending, just for a really big laugh-out-loud moment, he tells Heyman to climb the ladder and get the briefcase for him. Paul Heyman, your Money in the Bank winner!
That'd be interesting.
It would be. It'd be something different at the same time, because... You know,
why? Would it be accepted?
I reckon there'd be enough people who would accept it. The thing is, like, we're so used to Money in a Bank being this gigantic car wreck of bodies flying everywhere, getting destroyed. I mean, how different and unique is it that you have someone like Brock Lesnar being the man who causes all that destruction?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's something different. It's something unique. It's something that will add to his character and keep him, looking strong at a time where he would have been off TV for a while.
Brock Lesnar with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Don't expect him to hold it until WrestleMania 32.
And depending on how many dates he's contracted for, the amount of times that you can just have him come out during an opportune moment and just do his little Brock Lesnar dance on the stage to intimidate whoever's down in the ring, just to fuck with their heads. You could use that as a storyline while you still have two guys battling it out for the belt at the same time. Hell, you could even use that as, say, a three-way. Because Brock's not the type of guy who's going to sit back and let somebody else do the damage for him.
Yeah, true.
So you have him win Money in the Bank, and you have him go, you know what? I'm going to cash it in for a match at SummerSlam against, you know, fuck it. We'll do a rematch. We'll have Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns in the ring. Brock comes out at the start of the match and goes, I'm cashing in. I'm getting in on this shit. And then you just let the slaughter begin. It's a very simple booking idea, but it'll work. And it gives you that ring match between the three participants from WrestleMania.
Well, here's the thing. With Brock Lesnar, you don't have to overbook the shit out of his matches. So in this situation, less is more is ideal. And I think that you might have something here.
Kiss theory. Keep it simple, stupid.
I always like
that many applications.
Sales. Yeah. That's the best way to approach sales, so why not approach Brock's matches with the KISS method?
It's the best way of approaching anything. You know, engineers will tell you, well, the fewer moving parts, the better it's going to last.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I expect to see him come back in June, and I expect starting tomorrow night, Paul Heyman working his magic on the microphone, trying to convince the authority to lift the suspension as early as tomorrow. Because I have a feeling that they've already got something cooked up for the next 6 months, specifically for Brock. If not, you know, solid right down to the last character, at least sketched out an outline.
Oh, I'm quite sure that they have. And Paul Heyman can spend the next 6 months trying whatever he can to get Brock Lesnar reinstated. You know, start with the begging and the pleading, move on to what he said on Monday night. Mm-hmm. He can go down to the court, get the WWE, you know, caught up in red tape and legalization and all that, have the title vacated or held up, or, you know, you play the legal angle late in the game.
Yeah. That would work. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, at least, anyway. So, speaking about Brock Lesnar, the match, WrestleMania, everything, I guess that Roman Reigns' family is pissed off. They're upset.
Supposedly.
This is not confirmed, and it has not been vetted. This is just a rumor.
Well, it's a rumor that has been strongly denied by some in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Hayes denied it, but Sunday night, they were pissed off.
They didn't know what was coming.
No, they were led to believe Roman Reigns was winning, and then when it happens, they were mad, and then cooler heads prevailed the next day or so, but they were pissed on Sunday.
Well, I am pretty positive that this whole Roman Reigns cashing in at WrestleMania and winning the title was not a spur-of-the-moment decision, despite what...
It'd be really hard for him to cash in.
Hey.
Seth
Rollins. Really hard for Roman Reigns to cash
in.
Seth Rollins. I mean, geez, guys.
Some CEO you're going to make, Tim.
Yeah, I'm distracted working on stuff.
Don't worry. You know? They're very easy to confuse the two.
Look, I can multitask.
The one gigantic Samoan and the one guy with half bleached blonde hair.
Don't speak. Okay, smart up.
When the former S.H.I.E.L.D. member cashed in at WrestleMania.
Yes, the former S.H.I.E.L.D. member.
When the guy wearing black cashed in.
Pay attention to what I mean, not what I say.
Are you going to do? Fine us?
I'll fine your ass.
Hey, I'm not working. I'm not
my
working
ass is fine already, yeah. Tim.
That's not what she said.
You know what? I think I might have to go and have a talk with Mr. Frost after this.
Oh, there you go. You know, I just wish that Omega would quit direct messaging me on Twitter asking if his jeans make his ass look fat. Because the fact of the matter is his ass look fat.
I'm insecure, and I count on your judgment.
Well, it's not the jeans that make your ass look fat. It's all the fried food you eat.
I'm American. There is no other food.
Eat an orange, fucker. You're in Florida.
Even that's fried.
Deep fried oranges. Coming this summer to Stampede. Anyway, I don't mean wrestling. I mean the exhibition. Anyway. Yeah, my point, getting back to it, as I remember before we all got sidetracked with somebody actually saying Roman Reigns is ahead of Seth Rollins. Don't be telling me that this was a last-minute decision to appease the fans. I think that this was the plan for quite some time to have Rollins cash.
This was decided the week of WrestleMania.
Yeah, they had this planned. It was plan B, but the thing is they didn't decide to go through with it until late in the show.
No, they didn't tell Seth Rollins till late in the show. Keyword.
Yeah, they didn't tell Seth until the Triple H and Rock.
Yeah,
and
but they didn't tell Brock, they didn't tell Heyman, they didn't tell Roman Reigns.
Brock knew
until Seth Rollins was informed. Then all of them were told, and then went and replanned the finish of the match.
The question is, did Brock know he was going to cash it in, or did Brock just know he was dropping the title?
I think Brock knew he was dropping the title.
Brock knew he was cashing in on that date.
What about Roman? Did Roman know?
I've heard mixed reports, but I've heard he was told.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but the odds are that he was told well ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, you got to remember, like, the reports were was that a lot of Roman's family got flown in for this event. So he either did a really good job of keeping his mouth shut, or the time frame in which they informed him of what was going on was so small that he couldn't inform his family.
Or he was told not to tell his family. Because if he told, word would get out.
This is possible.
And the best rumor of them all was, they wanted Roman Reigns to quit.
Yeah, okay, that's bullshit. But the thing is, like, I can understand, you know, the family's reaction, though. You know, they've been informed beforehand that a member of the family is going to win the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania. It's a big deal. It's the kid's first major title in that company. Mm-hmm. And it's at the biggest show of them all against a guy who's built this reputation of being the unbeatable monster. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that the family can be proud of, and they'd want to be there and see. And to see that suddenly change, mm-hmm. of course they're going to get pissed off. You know, name me one person if you were in Roman Reigns' position, and you had you flew your family out to come and see this big moment in your career, only to have it get changed at the last minute and be someone else? Name me one person who wouldn't be pissed off in that situation.
They were also flying out. He was still in the main event of WrestleMania. That was still a big moment.
Exactly. It was still a big moment, but it wasn't the payoff to the big moment that they were promised.
Which, in which case,
I can understand their frustration.
To be fair, anyone following this pretty much was almost sure that Roman Reigns is going to walk out, whether you were attached to them or not.
And they've been in the wrestling business how long? They should know card subject to change.
Especially when it's technically not on the card.
Right. They should know better. The family should realize it's the wrestling business. Things change.
No, that doesn't. I'm not buying that one, Rock. Sorry. You know, here it is. You know, again, you know, drawing on experience. I've been in the ring. Tim's been booking and CEOing and, you know, finding people and whatever else he does for years. We've been a part of the wrestling business. Yet I've been there to watch my friends in their big moment in wrestling, you know, and I still get sucked into it. You know, all this was just a family's reaction to what they saw. they didn't go there and go, oh, well, it's just business. That was the reaction like 2-3 days down later.
Right, but right? I'm just saying they're overreaction.
At that point in time, they were still fans. Whether you know the business or not, hell, fucking look at Sunday and how much I was marking out. All it was just the reaction to the storyline. Then down the track, when the, you know, as we've said, cooler heads prevailed. That's when the, we've been a part of this business kicked in. The initial reaction is warranted because it was just a fan reaction.
Still.
That's it.
Still, they should have realized in their head, like, this is wrestling.
Yeah, and that's probably, and again, that's the reaction that comes later. After everything is cooled down, in the heat of the moment, you get caught up and you have that reaction. I don't see why it should be an issue, you know, and the fact that they've been in the business for so long doesn't mean shit.
Agree to disagree?
Joel,
I think you guys are going to have to, yeah. Because there's nothing I can add that Mace hasn't already said, really. When you're actually working the business instead of just, like, really, really being passionate for it, there's a bit of a difference.
It still doesn't mean you can't have those mark-out moments, though. You know, you don't become a part of the business and then all of a sudden lose your ability to be a fan.
Oh no, and that's one thing that you've gotta make sure you never do, because it can happen. It's not easy, it's not automatic, but it is possible to lose that ability to be able to just like turn off what you know and watch and be entertained. So,
let's take a break.
Do everything I can to do just that. You know what? That might be a good idea. Why don't we take a break, come back, you know, we'll finish off the show. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As we go to break, why don't you all go to Facebook and hit the page, facebook.com/originalstampedewrestling, and you too can like the page. We'll be back right after this.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! It's Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins got a piece of Dean Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Amazing Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, proud official sponsor of the original Stampede Wrestling. Can I say that?
Say whatever you like. I'm not listening.
I think, when do you ever?
Since you are
never.
Since you are the CEO, Tim, I think you can say whatever you want.
Just about whatever I want. Damn it, it's mine, and that's all there is to it. I mean, the responsibility and all that other stuff. So. Yeah.
That unless the board says no.
Well, they've given me a fair bit of autonomy, and of course right now it's just a basic feeling out process. I'll be sitting down and interviewing several people for several different reasons, as Mace will understand. And we'll go from there. But, yeah, we're going to be announcing all over the interwebs when the tickets for our first show will be going on sales. Don't worry about it. And that is directed to all the people who have been blowing up my cell phone with text messages asking for tickets. And there have been a few. So I just wanted to clarify that. And I thank everybody for their patience while I do this. So now I'm technically off the clock. It's late Sunday night for most of us except Mace, and it's Easter evening. So happy Easter, everybody. Do this and have one with me because
it's happy chocolate day to all.
There you go.
And until like 2 days from now when everything gets, you know, the price on chocolate gets cut in half and everybody gets diabetes.
I ate 1/4 of a pound of solid milk chocolate bunny dipped in peanut butter today.
Yay. Yeah.
I just crush up the eggs and everything, and stick it into a bowl, put it in the freezer so it's nice and crunchy.
Yeah, there you go.
Chocolate.
I just kind of felt yucky afterwards, not like I used to do.
I guess that's just because it's just the...
Yeah, Tim, you're just going to have to admit it. You're not a young man anymore. Your stomach's just not as good as it used to be.
Yeah, well, my stomach was never good to begin
with. It's a medical advice.
No. My stomach was never good to begin with. I was born with a hole in my gut, and they didn't find it until I was 4 years old. So, there you are.
Well, you get out the spackle, fix it up, and it's all good.
I swallowed a whole bunch of plaster of Paris. Don't worry. And the school glue in kindergarten, I swallowed that, too, to plug it up. And something got plugged up all right, but it wasn't the hole.
Oh, my.
Well, it wasn't the hole that you needed plugged up.
No way. Way too much info. Way too much info.
Yeah, there you go. So, hey, guys, WWE Network's bringing up, like, 8 new original series for the network. What do you think? Yay.
More shows about the same wrestling clips.
I give zero fucks because I canceled my network subscription.
But aren't you getting it back next month?
Maybe. I haven't decided yet. Like, it's only just been canceled in the last 24 hours. Officially, like, the subscription's run out. And I'm sitting here looking at my budget going, I could probably use that extra $14 a month for something else. Because I'll be honest, like, outside of the pay-per-view, there's not much on there that's drawing my attention. And sure, they put out that thing that they're putting out 8 new shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm still not overly interested.
I saw that, what's his name, Seth Green?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seth Green's doing the Camp WWE show, which is meant to be like South Park with WWE wrestlers.
Yeah, it didn't look appealing.
No.
Seth, stick to Robot Chicken. Seriously. And Austin Powers movies.
Please, stick to Robot Chicken. Make more fucking seasons. Hurry the fuck up.
Yeah, we're waiting for it. Damn it. I miss Robot Chicken.
I know. It's only getting shorter and shorter. I think the last season was only like 8 episodes.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So,
are you guys surprised at the numbers that Raw drew last Monday?
No.
Post-Mania? Nah.
That's not any kind of big deal as far as we're concerned. It happens every Raw after Mania. But the numbers were really, really high. I mean, the average 5.34 million. Hour 2 alone was 5.6. I mean, they haven't seen numbers like this. They didn't even see numbers like this last year after Mania.
They haven't seen numbers like this since, I'd say, probably late 98.
To correct you, it was 2012.
Oh, well, there
2012.
You go.
Really?
Raw 1000. Usually they go up against the big NCAA championship basketball game. Mm-hmm. But since Easter fell, you know, they were a week before Easter, so it just sort of...
They've worked out that way.
Which means tomorrow's rating is probably going to sink because they're up against the basketball game. So,
which is all good.
Yeah.
It's all right. They get better ratings than hockey, so, you know, we'll keep that
Yay!
Going.
Yay! Yay! Yeah, don't be knocking the ratings in hockey just because you don't understand it and don't know what the fuck's all about. It gets pretty...
Oh, I understand
especially
hockey.
Especially this time of the year. Well, you know.
I just don't like hockey. I
don't like
it. I know what's
so
going
even.
On.
So. That was
okay. You could have, yeah, you could have picked like a sports analogy there, Tim. But okay, sure.
Yeah, that's the first thing that hit my brain was a didgeridoo. I don't know.
Fucking racist.
No, it's not because you're white.
Nationalist.
Yeah, I'm a Canadian homer. Yeah, damn straight. So.
Yeah, you don't see me trying to insult you by going, oh, maple syrup.
You have, fucker. And we've got the archives to prove you
have.
Yeah,
but when he does it, it's funny.
It's not Canadian bacon either. It's back bacon.
It's Canadian bacon.
Oh, fuck off. You be quiet. You're just a producer.
And your point is what, Tim?
My point is shut up.
What, you're going to fine me now?
You're fine.
No, he's going to fine you for bribing him.
No, he's fine. 4,000 kwatlus.
So $1.50. Cool.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Anybody want to explain CJ Parker to those who don't know what the hell we're talking about?
like you.
An NXT wrestler who basically looked like a hippie.
There you go.
We like to call him on the rack Mr. Man Panties.
Yeah, CJ Parker left the WWE guy.
If you wanna sort of a gimmick that you might remember, you remember Van Hammer in WCW?
Painfully.
When he walked around the tie dye with the signs protesting shit.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah, same thing. Exact same gimmick. Just more modern day hippie.
Yeah. So, okay. He left WWE. What does that mean?
It means they need to find a new jobber for NXT.
Pretty much that.
That's just really sad when you're. That's the first thing that's out of your mouth.
But it's accurate, though. That's the scary thing. It's funny because it's true.
Funniest things are true. Yeah, but he is the definition of a jobber. He is the guy they put out there when they want someone else to look good, and it is an important role. But if you actually want a role that will expand, it is not a role for you, and he wanted to expand.
Uh-huh.
And good on him for being someone who made it to, quote-unquote, the show, and he gave it a shot, saw he wasn't going anywhere, no matter how good he was in the ring or his promos were or whatever, and he went, you know what, I'm going to jump back a bit, I'm going to go back on the indies, I'm going to go and refine my stuff, go and find what's going to work for me, and they've said that he's welcome back if he ever wants to come back. You know, this is probably the best definition of a mutual break that there can be in wrestling.
He appears to be headed over to New Japan, I believe, too.
Yeah, he wants to go overseas. He wants to go overseas and work over there, which is good. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully the guy finds what he's looking for on the Japanese circuit or whatever. And who knows, in a couple of years, he might come back to WWE. And he might actually have some success. It's not one of these things where it's like, oh, nothing of value has been lost. You know, good on him for realizing that at this time, the WWE is just not for him.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it's just a case of,
he lost his smile.
Yeah, there you go. He wants to expand his personal, what's the word I'm looking for?
Repertoire?
Horizons?
Horizons, not repertoire. But nice try, I'll give you points. So
I know, fancy word. Mm-hmm.
He been done that learning.
So, yeah.
It's not one of these things where everybody's going to be going, oh my god, he's gone, how dare he leave the company, blah, blah, blah. It's one of these things of, okay, so you found the company doesn't work for you. Cool. Sure, it means that you might not be making the same money, but you're out there doing what you love still. There is no bad clouds on the horizon.
In this case, you wish him the best of luck, and that's not said as, yeah, well, we're done with you, piss off. That's this one of those rare times where it's sincere.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
He's not going out there and pulling anything like Kid Cash, so he's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's hope he doesn't pull Kid Cash.
Wait, he can call in.
Was it Kid Cash that Trey got?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
By the way, Kid Cash is retiring this year.
Yeah, and nothing of value was lost.
Keeps getting his ass fired for no reason. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I have a feeling he'll never be in one of our all-time greatest lists. I'm just
saying. Yeah, all-time greatest dumb moves on an internet wrestling show?
Wow.
The winner of that one is Vince Russo.
Yeah.
God, it'll still take us 8 months to get through one.
Yeah, it'll still take us 8 months to eliminate Kid Cash. But that would be one list he was on. For the all-time greatest. Speaking of which, why don't we
finally catch up, or at least try to, because we've missed a couple of the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
The Frog Splash versus the Figure Four. Mace.
Oh, I think I got a Frog Splash on this one. You know, I prefer my impact style finishes over a submission hold. And as good as the Figure Four is, it's annoyingly complex to try and get right, just ask the Miz. Whereas the frog splash just has...
Give Miz credit. He invented like six new ways of applying that hold.
Yeah, that's true. Mind
five
you,
shitty
six,
ones.
The, yeah. five of them were shit, but...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to beat you to it. But we were thinking...
That's okay. We all jump on each other's jokes on this network. With the frog splash, it's simple, it's impactful... And if you get the right guy doing it, like Eddie Guerrero or Rob Van Dam, it is like watching a work of art being done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going Frog Splash.
Omega.
Frog Splash is a pretty move to watch, yes. If you get someone like Guerrero or Van Dam doing it, yes, it does look exceptionally good. I've always taken issue with it because it is a flying splash. You just kind of like tuck into a ball halfway through it. You know, and overall, there's always something that feels lacking about it as a finisher. I really like the Figure Four. I mean, aside from just being a very traditional wrestling hold, thanks to Ric Flair. It's one that has a lot of interesting situations to it, because it can be reversed, because it can be... it's very easy to get to the ropes because you are laid out so long. And there is some science to actually applying it in the first place, as Miz has found out. Mm-hmm. He's not a good scientist, evidently. It presents more options, and there's a little bit... It comes across feeling like there's more strategy to the hold than simply just like, well, wrap your legs up and hope he taps out. So there's a bit more theatrics to the Figure Four, so I'm going to go with that one.
Tim?
What do you want?
Make a pick.
What am I picking?
Frog Splash, Figure Four, what do you got?
Dirty dishes. Eddie was fantastic with the five star Frog Splash. I'm going to pick Figure Four because that's the move that I hurt my brother with when he pissed me off one time, and it actually like locked in great, and he deserved it, and I proved to him that it was a real move. And we have never gotten along since.
Omega, what'd you pick again?
I picked the Figure Four.
Okay, so the Figure Four moves on. I was listening to something on the TV as you were talking too, so sorry.
Oh, wait, you want to change my pick now?
Too late.
Okay, I want to pick the Figure Four for $200, Alex.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pile Driver versus Total Elimination. Omega.
Pile of what?
Pile Driver.
I don't know. I have no problem with the total elimination. It two basic moves combined, but you get two guys doing it that are well timed enough, and it does look pretty mean. It does. It's a good tag team finish. The pile driver just fucking sucks. Like, just like, that looks like it hurts like a son of a bitch. I don't care who's delivering it.
Even if you do it right.
Well, if you do it wrong, it looks like it hurts even worse.
Ask Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Different type of pile driver.
Yeah.
No, that's a proper pile driver.
He did the tombstone, though.
No, he thought they were going to do the tombstone and set for that, and then he delivered a normal pile driver.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, the pile driver's just, aside from classic, it's so dangerous you can't use it anymore.
Hey, they use it in TNA.
Yeah, well, TNA, no one's really concerned about their long-term future in that company. Pile driver. Brutal move.
Alright, so one for pile driver. Ace.
Both moves are indeed brutal as fuck in execution. I'm sitting here, I'm watching the total elimination. It's like, outside of Saturn and Kronos, not many people have been able to pull that one off properly. Yet everybody does the pile driver, or at least a variation of it. Alright, I'm gonna do a pile driver on this one. Again, a standardized version is dangerous as hell, and I'll give it based on the merit of when you do it, like when Owen does it, Mick Foley used to do a pulling version, then you've got Jerry Lawler who used it as his finish. You've got Jerry Lynn, who did a cradle version. I'll give it just based on the merit of being able to do something like that, and for 99.9% of it being done, your opponent is completely safe, yet it looks like it killed them. So, pile driver.
Tim?
Oh, unanimous. Because the pile driver is something you used on my sister when she pissed me off, and it crippled her and she doesn't bug me anymore. I'm kidding! But yeah, pile driver.
So the pile driver and the figure four move on. Next week will be the Jackknife Powerbomb versus the Sister Abigail, and the Muscle Buster takes on the Canadian Destroyer. Next week on the show.
Muscle Buster versus the Canadian Destroyer?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you?
You guys were the ones who put them in that, you know.
I don't want those facing each other.
Too bad.
Oh, that sucks. All right, fine. Why don't we just get to it?
Let's do it.
Time now for some WrestleTalk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some WrestleTalk Radio quick hits.
We'll start with Tim. Tim, is Mark Henry a Hall of Famer?
Oh, Jesus, that's a difficult one. I have a hard time with this, Mark Henry being a Hall of Famer. Love the guy. Love everything that he's done for the company. But really, seriously, has it been enough to put him in there? I don't know.
Keep in mind, really, we inducted the Bushwhackers.
Well, you know, based on that, then sure, why not?
Don't base it on the Bushwhackers. Come on. All right. Anyway. Mace, is Ivory a Hall of Famer?
No, because nobody remembers her. Frankly, she didn't have much of a career in the company, and she did nothing to leave a mark on the wrestling world as a whole.
Okay. Omega, are the Steiner brothers Hall of Famers?
I'd have to say yes if you actually allow one of them in the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Well, you won't let Hogan won't be there that year. We'll make up.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. Given that, yeah, I'd put the Steiners in.
Okay, Tim, is Sable a Hall of Famer?
Is Sable a Hall of Famer for Playboy?
No, not for Playboy. WWE.
Sable? I would say no.
Okay, Mace, is Jazz a Hall of Famer?
God, I forgot she was even alive. So I'm going to put that down as a no. Again, like Ivory, made no impact on the company, no impact on the fans, and no impact on the business in general.
She made an impact on one show when she had let her top get ripped off and wasn't wearing a bra.
Yeah, but that was the 90s. That was fucking just about every female in wrestling.
Yeah, just about.
And finally, to Omega, is Joey Styles a Hall of Famer?
Oh, that is... Ah, crap. Well, if Warrior had his way, he would be for his backstage work on the website, but... that is so hard, because his legacy... He's such a good play-by-play guy. He's one of the few guys who can go out there and work solo. Hello, Byron. But that legacy isn't in WWE. Like, I think we're a long way off from being able to induct people who were in, like, supplementary roles in other companies. I was going to say you had a better chance of Tony Schiavone, but no. No, you really wouldn't.
No, Tony Schiavone, don't even bring him up in this conversation.
Unless they kind of change some of their attitudes and we start seeing more, you know, guys known for other companies who weren't actually wrestlers start getting into the Hall of Fame, I'd say no.
And that would do it.
And that's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where yes, you guys all got a worldwide exclusive courtesy of the original Stampede Wrestling. So there, haha, we can do the same thing. Anyway, just to answer the question you gave Omega, Joey Styles in the Hall of Fame, hell yes, bottom line, end of story. All right, hey, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at FlamesForums, but you can also tune in tomorrow night immediately following Raw for the Raw Post Show.
Yes, you can. We will recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. It's called the Raw Post Show. Dig it. Come listen.
There you go. And Thursday night's another edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rack.
The Rack will be back this Thursday night because Lindsay has sort of found her voice, and hopefully by Thursday we'll have it completely back. We will cover a little bit of NXT. We will cover a lot of news and actually give you our WrestleMania review since we didn't have a chance to this past week because she was sick. So tune in to Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRD_Rack, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRTheRack. And go to the website, RackRadioShow.com.
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing Saturday night?
Around like midnight-ish?
Well, right before that.
Oh, right before that, we make fun of King Kins for about 2 hours. Or Cards Against Humanity, whatever you want to call it. But after that, it's called CB Radio. It's the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We talk about all the weird news stories you can possibly think of, play some games. It's a hell of a lot of fun. Plus, somebody likes to, just go off and ramble. So tune in to CB Radio, midnight-ish. Saturday nights. Follow the show on Twitter at CBRadioWTR and Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Use the hashtag BlameRob and go to CBRadioLive.com.
There you go. And of course, next Sunday night's one more edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the One Talk Radio Network, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain. Hey, Mace, you're on the Twitter machines.
Yes, I'm on the Twitter machines at the Mace thing where you can follow me where I ramble about absolutely fucking nothing. but make it entertaining nonetheless, because that's me. Speaking about rambling about nothing and making it entertaining, I've also got a YouTube channel over at youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where I review video games and post vlogs about why I haven't put out videos for months.
There you go.
Yep. And I believe this week I'm going to be running around at a convention, so if anybody is listening from Australia and is in Melbourne for the Supernova Expo this upcoming Saturday, I'll be running around dressed as a weird combination of CM Punk and Deadpool.
There you go. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so
coming soon to Stampede Wrestling near you?
Maybe not. You never know. We'll find out, eh? Won't we? Huh? You know what? Let's just let him make a plug stuff.
Oh, I can do that. Ooh, I'm good at doing that. You can find.
There's a bucket over here.
You can find most of my stuff over on YouTube at TJ Omega, where I'm currently busy in a month-long marathon of micro-reviews on top of everything else I do on a monthly basis over there. Everything that is not found on YouTube is found over at tjomega.org. If you are so inclined to follow me on any kind of social media, it's TJ Omega on Twitter, TJ Reviews over on Facebook.
Omega, question.
But
why are you doing Toy-cember in April?
Why can't I do Toy-cember in April?
Because that's...
He's got a dedication to a really good April Fool's joke.
But it's not Christmas time.
Semantics. It's a month of a major Christian holiday. Counting it.
It should have been with a month that ended in Ember or something for it to actually fit.
But that's not the joke.
I know the joke. I know, but it's used to being it in December. Tradition,
yes. I couldn't do it in December. I'm doing it now. Shut up.
Tradition, tradition.
It's the spring break edition of Toy-cember. See, I follow along. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com. So that's WildTalkRadio Network. Say goodnight, Tim.
I'm going to say goodnight now. Don't forget to go to Facebook.com/OriginalStampedeWrestling.
Now say goodnight.
Goodnight.
WildTalkRadio.com.